as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR be the model for high-quality journalism in the 21st century. This is NPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Reach an engaged and influential audience by becoming a KPR corporate sponsor. It's an efficient, effective way to recognize your business and support public media. Learn more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
68 degrees in Topeka, 70 here in Lawrence. It is 6:06.
KPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, many other frequencies all around the state, and always streaming on the World Wide Web at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through social and behavioral approaches to developmental disability research. Information about research at KU is at ku.edu.
Thanks so much for spending part of your evening with us. Coming up on KPR, an update of news headlines. Then we will learn more about how the struggling German auto industry is shifting to make weapons as the government is suddenly spending billions with a B on defense. We'll talk about James Comey, the former FBI director, has pleaded not guilty on two felony charges. He's planning to argue that he was targeted by Donald Trump. And we will find out more about fighting crime in Albuquerque. They have a unique approach. We'll talk about it coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Culinaria in Lawrence, serving Mediterranean-inspired cuisine, wine, and craft cocktails. Open for dinner Wednesday through Saturday and Sunday brunch. Menus and more at culinariafoodandwine.com.
KPR's fall membership drive wrapped up just about a week ago with more than $117,000 pledged by our listeners. Many thanks to everyone who made a pledge during the drive. You are the public in public radio, and your support is what makes this service possible. If you have not yet pledged, remember you can become a member anytime at kansaspublicradio.org. And thank you. 68 degrees in Topeka, 67 in Manhattan. It's 6:20.
To look at energy and groceries.
Find out why the data differs from the experiences tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition.
Support for KPR comes from KJHK, celebrating their 50th birthday with a local music festival in Lawrence. Lawrence bands from across the decades will perform at 7 venues, October 17th and 18th. Tickets at Granada.com.
Stay tuned. News headlines are up next. It is 69 degrees in Emporia, 69 in Abilene, 70 in Atchison. It's 6:30.
Policymakers cast another vote on interest rates in 3 weeks, and thanks to the government shutdown, they may have to do so without the benefit of updated information on the job market or inflation.
That's Scott Horsley. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Next month's elections will decide hundreds of local school board seats across Kansas, and education advocates say this year's races are shaping up differently than they have in the recent past. Leah Fleiter with the Kansas Association of School Boards says most local school board debates have shifted away from nationwide culture war issues. She says some board members who won seats by appealing to pandemic-era discontent have shifted politically after getting elected.
Once you get into the nitty-gritty of day-to-day and month-to-month operation of a school district, you realize that it's a lot more complicated than just focusing on social issues.
4 years ago, a wave of conservative candidates took over many school boards across Kansas. This year, school board races are not seeing the same level of partisan politics or funding from national lobbying groups. The government shutdown is making a bad situation worse for Midwest farmers. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is mostly shut down. That blocks farmers' access to government loans to help them make ends meet. Chad Hart, an economist at Iowa State University, says the shutdown is also blocking access to crucial information.
we're going through harvest here right now, and farmers are trying to make those marketing decisions. Do I sell? Do I store? A lot of those decisions hinge upon the national reports that we're getting about agriculture that come from USDA. And those reports are missing now as well.
Farmers were already losing money, in part due to the trade war with China. The president has promised a bailout, but those payments would need to be managed by USDA employees who are currently out on furlough. Students who recently filed a lawsuit against the Lawrence School District say district officials are pressuring school newspapers not to report on the suit. The lawsuit alleges the software the district uses to monitor usage of district-issued computers is illegally searching and seizing students' digital files. Court documents obtained by the Kansas City Star allege district staff intimated that a student journalism advisor might be fired if students reported on the lawsuit. The student journalists are seeking an injunction blocking the advisor's firing. In its own filing, the district says students have been told they can report on the suit and no, quote, adverse action will be taken against the advisor. The forecast for northeast and east central Kansas, mostly cloudy skies tonight with a low in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a slight chance of rain in the morning, but mostly sunny by the afternoon. We're expecting highs in the lower 70s. There's a 30% chance of rain tomorrow night with a low in the mid-50s. It's 6:35.
From NPR News.
Get caught up.
We are learning new information this morning about the lengthy...
Take a step back.
All right, what's really going on here?
And prepare for what's ahead.
Are you expecting a breakthrough this week?
Stay on top of the news with Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
You can hear Morning Edition Monday through Friday on your KPR stations. Tomorrow, your local host is Matthew Algio.
Support for KPR comes from the Crystal Image Photography Studio, offering in-studio and on-location senior pictures, family portraits, professional headshots, and more. Serving Lawrence and surrounding areas since 2004. Information and portfolio at tcistudio.com.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 96.1 FM in Lawrence and lots of other frequencies, too, all around the state. We're always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org, or you can access us via app. Lots of interesting features there on the app, audio on demand. You can even set an alarm so you wake up to Morning Edition. Maybe you're a jazz musician. Set your alarm to wake up to All Things Considered. You can do it all with the app. Check it out when you have a few moments. We have versions for both iOS and Android.
Support for KPR comes from SpiderArt Constructors, offering foundation repair for leaky basements, cracks, leaning walls, and waterproofing. More information on home preservation is at Spider, Spider with a Y, SpiderArtConstructors.com.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight with a low in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Slight chance of rain in the morning, but sunshine by the afternoon. Highs in the lower 70s. It's 68 degrees in Topeka. It is 70 in Lawrence at 10 minutes before 7.
Short-term solution to a longer-term problem. He also says the way the city has employed the guard is an alternative to how it's been used by the Trump administration. But he says the Albuquerque model may not be replicable everywhere. It takes the governor, the mayor, and the police department all to be on the same page, which isn't always easy. But for now, he says it's been of help in Albuquerque. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Easy Cater, a business tool for food, designed to help organizations order food for meetings and events from restaurants nationwide, set up employee lunch programs, and manage food spend at easycater.com. From Procter & Gamble, maker of ZzzQuil, with a range of products designed to relieve occasional sleeplessness to help people fall asleep. Learn more at ZzzQuil.com. From the Cy Sims Foundation, since 1985, supporting advances in science, education, and the arts towards a fairer, more just, and civil society. More information is available at cysimsfoundation.org. And from the sustaining members of this NPR station.
Running late in the morning? It happens. You can still start your day feeling pulled together. Listen to Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
You can hear Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations.
Support for KPR comes from Delta Dental of Kansas, asking listeners when they last visited a dentist. For a preventive checkup, dentists can be found at deltadentalks.com/find.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3. KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Up next, we have news headlines, then start 8, then 2 hours of classical music with Destiny. Don't go away.
Support for KPR comes from Kaiser Cummings Jewelers. More than 35 years of custom-designed, handcrafted jewelry in downtown Lawrence. Collection online at kaisercummings.com.
KPR thanks local businesses, including Latchkey Deli, The Roost, and Wheatfields for supporting KPR this fall with their generous donations during our membership drive. As far as the weather goes, mostly cloudy skies tonight, a low in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Slight chance of rain in the morning, but clearing out by the afternoon. Sunshine with a high in the lower 70s tomorrow. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a chance of rain in the evening and a 30% chance of showers and storms late. We're expecting a low in the mid-50s. It's 7:01 and the news is next. This is KPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump says that Israel and Hamas have agreed on the first phase of his peace proposal, and he's likely to travel to the region soon, as NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
In a message on Truth Social, President Trump announced a deal on the first phase of his peace plan. That means all of the remaining hostages will be released very soon, he writes, and Israel will withdraw troops to an agreed-upon line. Mediators say aid will be allowed to enter Gaza. Trump told reporters earlier in the day that he could travel to the region this weekend.
I'll be going to Egypt, most likely. That's where everybody is gathered right now, and we appreciate that very much. But I'll be making the rounds, as the expression goes. I probably will.
He didn't rule out visiting Gaza when he was asked. A group representing families of the remaining hostages thanked Trump for what they're calling this historic breakthrough. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
Former FBI Director James Comey has pleaded not guilty to criminal charges brought by federal prosecutors. The case has fueled concerns that the Justice Department is being used to go after President Trump's perceived political enemies, as NPR's Ryan Lucas reports.
Comey's attorney entered the not guilty plea at his arraignment in federal court in Alexandria, Virginia. The former FBI director faces one false statements count and one count of obstruction of a congressional proceeding. The charges stem from testimony Comey gave to Congress in 2020. The Justice Department charged him just days after President Trump publicly called on Attorney General Pam Bondi to go after Comey and two other political foes. Trump also pushed out the top federal prosecutor in the Eastern District of Virginia and replaced him with a former insurance lawyer who once served as Trump's personal attorney, who days later secured the Comey indictment. That has fueled growing concerns that the Justice Department is being weaponized to target Trump's opponents. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
A man has been arrested in connection with the Palisades fire that ravaged the Los Angeles area in January. Steve Futterman reports the blaze destroyed around 6,800 structures and killed 12 people.
Officials say the suspect, who was an Uber driver, maliciously set a fire on January 1st that was never completely extinguished, and the following week reignited as the Palisades fire. Bill Asaley is the acting U.S. attorney in L.A.
The fire continued to smolder and burn underground until on January 7th, heavy winds caused this underground fire to surface.
Authorities say the suspect may have had an unusual interest in fires. He created AI images of a city burning and repeatedly played a French rap song whose video depicted a trash can being set ablaze. For NPR News, I'm Steve Futterman in Los Angeles.
The S&P 500 climbed 0.6% a day after snapping a 7-day winning streak. From Washington, this is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Lilly Endowment, a private foundation supporting NPR's coverage of religion and spirituality. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate October 8th. An embryonic star may be about to vanish, perhaps for a century. It's not going anywhere. Instead, it'll be cloaked by a dense cloud that encircles two companions. T-Tauri is the prototype for a class of protostars. The gravity of such a star is causing it to collapse, making it hot and bright. But its core isn't hot enough to ignite the fires of nuclear fusion, so it's not yet a true star. The star we see as T-Tauri is about twice as massive as the Sun. It's encircled by a disk of gas and dust, the raw materials for making planets. And it might already have given birth to at least one planet. T-Tauri is a member of a triple star system. Its companion stars are close together, encircled by their own disk. It's so thick that it hides the stars at visible wavelengths. We see them only in the infrared. Now, the companions and their disk are starting to slide between us and the brighter star. The star has faded a good bit in recent years. Eventually, it may be hidden behind the disk as well. And it could take a century for the disk to move out of the way, allowing the brightest star of the T-Tauri system to shine through once more. Taurus is low in the east and southeast by late evening. T-Tauri is just above Aldebaran, the bull's brightest star, far to the lower left of the bright moon. The young star is visible through a telescope, for now. More about the moon and the bull tomorrow. Our web address is stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Suite number 4 by Johann Sebastian Bach here on Kansas Public Radio with Andras Schiff at the piano, the Allemande, and Minuet. Hi there. I'm Destiny. This is Evening Classical. And, well, tonight is a special night because I have decided that we all need to learn where the waltz came from. You know, sometimes I call it Waltz Wednesday. Well, consider this somewhat of an educational program for you. The waltz didn't originate until much later, but it certainly did come from somewhere now, didn't it? Well, Bach was writing a bunch of minuets, and so were many other composers called by different names. They started out as dances, like a sarabande. The French were also experimenting with it. Menuet, spelled M-E-N as a difference. And then there were landlers and whatnot in Austria. So, you know, a lot of different countries were experimenting around. So that is the inspiration for this program tonight. I've got some great music, especially right now, this Jean-Baptiste Lully minuet. It's from 1674. Yes, I really like it. I think you will too. It's just a few minutes long. It's right now on KPR. Lovely minuet by Lully here on KPR. You see, it has that feeling of three that you can dance to it, like one, two, three, one, two, three. This is all leading to the waltz. We are going through the historical periods tonight together to see just where waltzes came from. And in about 7 minutes, I'm going to show you how a composer like Mozart in the classical era did a little something with that kind of 1-2-3 thing in an actual symphony. It's very, very professional sounding, that 1-2-3 thing, but I think you get it. All right, support for classical music on KPR comes from the Willow Domestic Violence Center's Bijou, an evening of roaring 20s Ritz, jazz, and live auction, all in support of the Willow. Thursday, October 16th at 6 p.m. at Maselli's, and tickets are at willowdvcenter.org. Ooh, and I do want to thank all of you dear listeners. You gave me butterflies. That's your hint for the next one. By how much you helped us raise at KPR during our fundraising drive. Over $117,000. Yay! 94% of our budget now is due to you. So if you didn't donate yet, we could still use your help. Just go to kansaspublicradio.org. And now I mentioned that in Austria, they were having beautiful times with landlers, which eventually turned into a waltz. This is Josef Lanner and the Butterflies Landler. Oh my gosh. Ensemble Vine, right now on KPR. The Butterflies' Landler by Yosef Lanner here on KPR Ensemble Vine. We are exploring the origins of the waltz. Yes. So you know what that means. Next hour is officially Waltz Wednesday with some great waltzes indeed. I found a waltz. Well, okay, it's not a waltz. It's called La Volta, and it's very short, and it's, well, technically it predates all of the music that I've already played for you, but I thought it would be kind of a fun hour ender. But before we even get to that, it's actually time for a Mozart symphony. I am getting ahead of myself. Okay, so Mozart's Symphony number 40, the one when I sang on the air and embarrassed myself with the whole, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's a Mozart. The reason I picked this is because in the third movement, it's called the Minuetto, and it has that 1-2-3 feeling. So composers were really experimenting and playing around with that feel. Indeed, they were. And what's interesting is I have the Vienna Philharmonic right now about to play this Mozart symphony for us, and that orchestra actually really popularized Strauss waltzes as well. We'll hear from them a little later. But right now, Mozart's Symphony number 40, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's a Mozart, here on KPR.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mozart Symphony No. 40 here on KPR with the Vienna Phil. And now going all the way back to the Renaissance, a dance form for you on KPR with saxophones, of course. From the Renaissance to the Waltz, next hour on KPR. This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD Ellsberg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Online at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for news on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, working to address major challenges in disease prevention and treatment, sustainable energy solutions, and more. Info about KU research is at ku.edu.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump says Israel and Hamas have signed off on the first phase of a peace plan and says he'll travel to the region in the coming days. It comes 2 years after Hamas's surprise attack on Israel that killed 1,200 people. That sparked Israel's war in Gaza, which has killed at least 67,000 Palestinians and destroyed much of the enclave. Netanyahu says he spoke with Trump a short while ago. He says he'll convene the Israeli government tomorrow to approve the peace plan. Hamas called on Trump and mediators to ensure that Israel implements all the provisions agreed upon without delay or changes. NPR's Franco Ordonez has more on what's in the deal.
Trump did say that Israel and Hamas have both signed off on the first phase of the peace plan, and that does include the release of all remaining hostages, 20 of whom are believed to still be alive. Now, Israel would in turn release more than 2,000 Palestinian detainees. It also means that Israel would partially withdraw its troops from Gaza to an agreed-upon kind of line.
NPR's Franco Ordonez reporting. Hundreds of National Guard troops have arrived in the city of Chicago. That's after President Trump mobilized them to quell protests against immigration enforcement in the city. NPR's Sergio Martinez Beltran reports.
Many Chicago residents have three questions. Why is the National Guard in town? Do people need to protect themselves? And what can the city of Chicago do to block the National Guard from assisting ICE in the city? The Trump administration has said the Guard troops have orders to protect federal functions, personnel, and property, specifically ICE operations. Mayor Brandon Johnson says he will do whatever it takes to protect the residents and fight what he calls a federal invasion. Meanwhile, President Trump has called for the arrest of Johnson. Trump accused the mayor of failing to protect ICE officers. Sergio Martinez Beltran, NPR News, Chicago.
There's still no end in sight to the government's shutdown. Federal worker union leaders are pushing Congress to do its job. Military troops are preparing to go without paychecks, and flight delays are taking place nationwide. Republicans like House Speaker Mike Johnson are pushing to temporarily reopen the government.
We just need a stopgap measure to give us a little more time to get the job of Congress done. They refuse to do it because they're playing politics, and real Americans are paying the price for it.
House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries says Republicans could reopen the government if they just agree to fund health insurance subsidies.
These extremists don't even want to show up to work when they're requiring hardworking federal employees to show up to work without pay.
President Trump says
Republican shutdown.
President Trump says he'll work with Democrats on health care, but only if they vote to reopen the government. Democratic and Republican-backed plans to fund federal agencies both failed again today. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Doris Duke Foundation, which aims to support the well-being of people and the planet for a more creative, equitable, and sustainable future. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Your childhood may shape your future in more ways than you think.
Anna Ferkel, a KU graduate researcher, is investigating interventions for positive outcomes.
Hi, my name is Anna Ferkel, and I'm a second-year graduate student at the University of Kansas Medical Center in the neuroscience department, and a Madison and Lila Self graduate fellow. And my research focuses on how early life stress can have negative outcomes later in life.
What are some examples of early life stress?
Early life stress is generally categorized into three different groups. There's abuse, neglect, or household dysfunction. So examples of this might be physical abuse or mental abuse or growing up in poverty even.
What are some issues that can arise if these conditions are not addressed?
So early life stress impacts a lot of people. We think that about 60% of the population experiences at least one instance of early life stress over their lifespan. And this can lead to decreased life expectancy by about 20 years. It can lead to increased instances of depression and chronic pain disease, as well as issues with memory and cognitive function.
So how does your research lessen those negative outcomes?
My research specifically is looking at different therapies as well as pathways that are involved in early life stress outcomes. Specifically, right now I'm looking at exercise and how different methods and amounts of exercise could help decrease those negative outcomes.
It's still early in your research, but have you seen any promising results?
So far, we've been seeing some promising changes in our groups that have experienced or undergo exercise conditions. And my further research will hopefully see a broader impact on our exercise groups to kind of figure out ways that we can lessen those adverse outcomes.
For more information about graduate research, visit graduate.ku.edu or our website at kansaspublicradio.org. For Research Matters, I'm Steve Kincaid.
Tchaikovsky's Serenade for Strings, The Waltz, here on KPR with Zinman and the Netherlands Chamber Orchestra. Hello there, I am Destiny. This is the second hour of Evening Classical. Glad you're here with me. We are talking about the evolution of the waltz. You know, gosh, out of The Landlord that we heard last hour, the waltz really became a scandalous but popular ballroom dance in the suburbs of Vienna. Indeed, it did. So you know what that means. We're going to be listening to one of your all-time favorite Strauss waltzes this hour. Oh, indeed we are. Indeed we are. But right now, many of you do not know that Shostakovich could even waltz. Yes, he could. This is a very short version from his jazz suite, and I really just wanted to have you hear the Russian take on a waltz. Well, technically you just did by Tchaikovsky, but thanks for humoring me. Here we go. Right now on KPR with Mario Bernardi and the CBC Orchestra. I love that. Because, of course, I do. Here on Kansas Public Radio, Waltz number 2 from Shostakovich's Jazz Suite, Mario Bernardi and the CBC Orchestra. You know how many times I've played this next tune. Too many, because it's my favorite. Can you guess what it is? Meow. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Assistance for Immigrants and Refugees, or AIR, a volunteer group sponsoring refugee resettlement in Lawrence and assisting with housing, jobs, social services, and education. Info at airefugeeslawrence.org. And support for classical music on KPR comes from Cromwell Solar since 1982, installing independent energy systems, such as backup batteries and solar panels for farms, homes, and businesses. More information is at cromwellsolar.com. And this is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, 91.5 Lawrence and 91.3 Junction City. And I am Destiny, your host who loves cats. My cats have not made an appearance lately whenever I've been at the home studio. I'm so sorry. This is in honor of them. Leroy Anderson's The Waltzing Cat, a very modern take on a waltz, right now on KPR. Are you sick of that yet? Hopefully not, because it's my favorite here on KPR, Laurie Anderson's The Waltzing Cat. Yes, I am Destiny, who loves cats, loves the radio, and loves playing the violin. And you can meet me Friday night, October 24th, in a spooky Halloween concert, free at the Lawrence Public Library at 7 p.m. Just make sure you RSVP at kansaspublicradio.org, because a lot of people show up and we want you to get your seat. It is the culminating performance of KPR's Live Day. We'll have a bunch of great musicians throughout the day and then a fun Halloween show at night. By the way, if you're sick of the Waltzing Cat that you just heard, why don't you let me know what you would like to hear instead? There's a way. Go to kansaspublicradio.org/classicsbyrequest. That's the show on Saturdays from 1 to 4 where you pick the playlist. And sometimes I put those picks in the evening show too. Indeed, I do. Because I love making you, the dear listener, happy. And I know the waltz of all waltzes right now that is going to put a smile on your face. Johann Strauss II, The Blue Danube Waltz. With Leonard Bernstein and the New York Phil on KPR. Thank you. Yes, one of the most epic waltzes of all time here on KPR by Johann Strauss II, The Blue Danube. Leonard Bernstein and the New York Philharmonic. Ah, lovely indeed. Well, we went through the entire, shall we say, from the Renaissance all the way up to Laurie Anderson's Waltzing Cat, and we heard how the waltz evolved, and I thought, gosh, maybe people are sick of waltzes and they just want to hear a nice Beethoven piano sonata or piano concerto or something like that. So I decided for this last half hour of the program, I would scrap the whole waltz theme, because why not? And now we're going to listen to a historic recording of Rubinstein, Arthur Rubinstein, playing Beethoven's Concerto No. 2 for piano. And that last movement, Beethoven's got some quirky humor in it, and I think you'll like it. This recording is with the Boston Symphony Orchestra. Enjoy on KPR.
Thank you. Thank you.
Beethoven Piano Concerto No. 2 here on KPR with Arthur Rubinstein and the Boston Symphony Orchestra. I'm Destiny. Thanks for being here with me these past 2 hours. If you've got a classical music request, let me know. Go to kansaspublicradio.org and navigate to the Classics by Request tab. I love hearing from you. More music coming up on KPR. I'm back tomorrow for Tango Thursday. See you soon.
Hey, it's A. Martinez. We've all been there. You get a phone call or knock on your door too early in the morning before you're fully awake. Who and why, you wonder, at this hour? For something you want to hear first thing, tune into Morning Edition. We'll get you up to date on the day's biggest headlines and bring you unexpected stories that make you smile. Listen whenever you're ready, weekday mornings from NPR News.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. We are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, 91.3. And KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to get smart and play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump says Israel and Hamas have signed off on the first phase of a peace plan. He says he'll travel to the region soon. Under the plan, Hamas will release all remaining hostages and Israel will begin withdrawing troops from Gaza. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres issued a statement calling for the end to fighting and the entry of humanitarian supplies to Gaza. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he'll convene the Israeli government tomorrow to approve the peace plan. The U.S. military campaign against drug smuggling boats in the Caribbean appears to be widening. After the U.S. said it had targeted Venezuelan vessels, Colombian President Gustavo Petro claims that the latest was Colombian. Reporter John Otis has more.
U.S. officials say American airstrikes in the Caribbean have destroyed four drug smuggling boats from Venezuela and killed 21 people. The legality of these military attacks remains unclear, and now Colombia has been drawn into the conflict. Colombian President Gustavo Petro said on social media that the U.S. destroyed a boat carrying Colombian citizens and that a, quote, new war scenario had opened up in the Caribbean. The White House called Petro's statement baseless and reprehensible. It's another blow to relations between the two nations, which were once close allies. Last month, the U.S. revoked Petro's visa after he called on U.S. troops to disobey the orders of President Trump. For NPR News, I'm John Otis.
Senate Republicans voted down a bill that would have curbed President Trump's use of military force against drug cartels. Democrats were trying to counter the administration's use of war powers to destroy vessels in the Caribbean. Trump has asserted that drug traffickers are armed combatants and that using military force without congressional approval is legal. President Trump hosted a roundtable on the leftist movement Antifa at the White House. NPR's Franco Ordonez reports the meeting comes after Trump designated Antifa a domestic terrorist organization.
President Trump was joined by Attorney General Pam Bondi and Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, along with several conservative independent journalists who shared their stories of confrontations with demonstrators that they refer to as Antifa.
It should be clear to all Americans that we have a very serious left-wing terror threat in our country. Radicals associated with the domestic terror group Antifa.
Last month, Trump signed an order to crack down on left-wing groups after the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk, including targeting those who financially support them. Some studies show there has been an increase in left-wing attacks in the U.S., but they remain much lower than historical levels of right-wing violence. Franco Ordonez, NPR News, the White House.
This is NPR News. French President Emmanuel Macron says he will name a new premier in the next 48 hours amid a political storm. His Prime Minister Sébastien Lecornu abruptly resigned on Monday. The move means it's unlikely Macron will call snap elections. That could plunge the country into even greater uncertainty. Macron doesn't have a majority in the National Assembly, and his prime ministers have repeatedly failed over the past year. The Niagara Falls tourist attraction Marineland says 30 beluga whales facing possible euthanization should not be sent to a proposed whale sanctuary in Nova Scotia. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, the now-defunct Marineland says the proposed sanctuary lacks any proven financial viability.
Marineland has been trying to sell the 30 belugas to avoid bankruptcy. It appealed to Ottawa for urgent financial help, saying it can no longer feed and care for the whales. But last week, the Canadian government denied an export permit to ship the whales to an aquarium in China. The amusement park says it has no choice but to begin euthanizing the belugas. Marineland also says the proposed whale sanctuary in eastern Nova Scotia is too polluted, and there has not been any development on the project in 5 years. Marineland alleges serious environmental issues, including toxic arsenic on the floor of the site, remain unresolved. And based on the lack of progress, it's unclear when the proposed sanctuary could even take in the whales. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
The government shutdown has grounded the Blue Angels stunt planes during San Francisco's Fleet Week air show, but pilots from Canada will make sure the show goes on. Royal Canadian Air Force's Snowbirds will headline the air show this weekend. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Kresge Foundation with Pathbreakers, a podcast about transforming communities through innovation. From revolutionizing higher education to supporting artists who are driving change, Pathbreakers is available on podcast platforms.
This is Kansas Public Radio. We are your place for NPR News at the top of the hour, every hour, and jazz all night. It's KPR Jazz. I'm Tom Parkinson. We're going to kick off this hour with something really exciting. It's from the Hot Toddies Jazz Band. They're a hot jazz and swing band specializing in swinging jazz tunes from the 30s, 40s, and 50s particularly. They've been doing a weekly residency at a nightclub in New York, a rooftop club called Somewhere Nowhere NYC, and we're going to listen to one that was recorded in 2024 live at that club and released in 2025. Here's the Hot Toddies Jazz Band with Lester Leaps In.
Thank you.
There are the Anderson brothers, Peter and Will Anderson. The Best of Berlin is the name of the project that they released in 2025, the music of Irving Berlin. And we heard the Berlin composition, Always. Peter Anderson and William Anderson. Peter is a tenor saxophone player. William is the alto sax player, and they both double on clarinet. Also had Wycliffe Gordon on trombone in that group, with Neil Miner on bass, Rossano Sportiello on piano, and Chuck Redd is the drummer. And before that, the Hot Toddies Jazz Band from New York. We listened to them doing Lester Leaps In. Here on Kansas Public Radio, we just heard a piece there from the Alexander Brothers that featured Rossano Sportiello on piano. Coming up in this next set, we'll hear another one that features Mr. Sportiello on piano with Harry Allen on saxophone. But to start this set, we'll stay in kind of the same vein that we started out in. This is music from the soundtrack from the Woody Allen.